All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 8. When we do it God's way, He wants us to be the head and not the tail. In the next two messages, we're going to talk more about how and the kingdom will be ours once again.
Welcome to Mission to Israel, a broadcast ministry featuring author, teacher, and evangelist Ted R. Weiland. The focus of this ministry is to open the eyes of our people and give insight into the issues we find ourselves facing in this day and age. Our address is Mission to Israel, Post Office Box 248, Scotts Bluff, Nebraska 69363, or you can reach us via the web at www.missiontoisrael.org. And now, here is Ted Weiland.
Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23, a familiar psalm, I'm sure just by the number. I'm sure most of you will recognize it. Psalm chapter 23, or Psalm 23, and we're going to read all six verses. It begins by saying, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before mine enemies, before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. What a psalm. You know, for some of us, for some of you, it wasn't something that I heard as a young man because we weren't really biblically inclined as a family. But for some of you, you've heard that psalm since you were just a little tyke. It was maybe one of the very first psalms that you ever heard. And how many references to it that we have heard over the years, and how many times it's been repeated. It's maybe a psalm that you have, in fact, memorized. And yet, in all of that, I think sometimes we can get so familiar with something that we lose something of it. But what a psalm! What promises, and all that could be said of every phrase or stanza therein. But in getting this message started, I wanted to focus in on just verse 5 and David's statement. That his cup wasn't just filled, but that his cup runneth over. Which was just another way of David saying that he was blessed beyond measure, exceeding abundantly, beyond all that he could think of, or even ask for. My cup likewise runneth over. I hope yours does as well. I hope you're as blessed as I am. Because I truly consider myself one of the most blessed men that walk the face of this earth. My blessings are in fact innumerable. Literally, my blessings are innumerable. That's how blessed I am. So I won't even bother trying to enumerate them for you. But if you're half as blessed as I am, if you're half as blessed, you are one super blessed dude or dudess, as the case may be. And if you're a cowboy, I guess that's an insult. But say it however you want to say it. If you're half as blessed as I am, you are super, super blessed. And by the way, and I'm just throwing this in for extra, this next little portion, it won't cost you anything, so don't worry about it. I'm simply going to share it because I think some of you need to hear it when it comes to blessings. Nine-tenths, I'm convinced that nine-tenths of going through life blessed. I think there's blessed. There's the fact of being blessed, and then there's blessed. And I believe that nine-tenths of going through life blessed is in perceiving, accepting, acknowledging, and especially in praising Yahweh for your blessings. I think in particular it's that last part of it that really bring home our blessings like nothing else can. Now, you might be thinking, man, Ted, if you're as blessed as you say you are, and I am, I wish I were Ted Weiland. Well, listen, if you're a genuine Christian, redeemed, bought back by the blood of Christ, your blessings, let me tell you, are just as innumerable as mine are. So don't look at me and think, oh, if I could be like Ted Weiland. You are like Ted Weiland if you're under the blood. And yet so very often I've observed Christians squandering away their blessings. I'd almost say more often than not, they squander away their blessings by merely, not in fact, but for the blessings. That life that they are meant to be, by merely failing to perceive their blessings, to accept their blessings, to acknowledge their blessings, and especially to praise Yahweh for them. Alleged Christians who go through life looking and acting like their cup is empty rather than running over, looking and acting more like they're cursed than one of the most blessed people on the face of this earth, as they are if they're in Christ. Talk about selling your birthright, or in this case, your blessings, for a bowl of pottage or for a sour puss and a foul disposition. See, the blessings are yours if you're in Christ, regardless. But if you're not living like you're blessed, You've sold them for less than a bowl of pottage, for a sour puss and a foul or poor disposition. Turn over to Lamentations 3. You don't need to do that. It's just something I pinned in here real quickly. But this isn't exactly what this is dealing with, but it's apropos. This part of Lamentations 3 and verse 39 is apropos, at least in the thought of what's here for what I'm talking about, where it says, Wherefore doth a living man complain? I'd never caught that before. It was actually in preparing this message for home that morning's reading was Lamentations chapter 3. And it was like, wow, I never caught that before. How much of the word we don't catch, the first or second, the 100th, 250th, 5th time through. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, praise God. I had never caught it. But really, think about that. Wherefore does a living man complain? How much more so? How much more so a man who has been given life and life again in Christ? Why for does a man born from above, given life again indeed, on top of life itself, complain? In fact, aren't we told we aren't to complain and grumble? How many complainers we got in the room? How many grumblers we got in the room? Raise your hands, every single one of you. I'll bet you money there ain't one of you that ain't. Except for me, of course. Well, Linda, sorry. She knows me best. Why do we complain and grumble? Why do we squander away what God has given us? On the other hand, if you're not a Christian, born from above, eternally forgiven, you are, and I'm talking to you, you are one of the most cursed people on the face of this earth. And you've got good reason to skulk around, living your life as if all is doom and gloom, because ultimately that is all life holds for you. Ultimately. But trust me, if you're covered in the blood, the forgiveness that comes from knowing Christ alone makes you one of the most blessed people on the face of the earth. And yet far too often, the cursed, those without forgiveness, those as the Apostle Paul described them in Ephesians 2, without God, without hope, aliens and strangers from the covenants, the cursed, often put the blessed to shame in the way that they approach life. What a sad, sad testimony. What testimony? Now, before getting to where I'm eventually going with this message, I've got to read this to you, and I know I've done it on I don't know how many occasions in the past at this particular conference. It's one of two passages that just seem to keep coming, one of three passages at least, that seem to be just always come to mind when I'm preparing for here. But let me ask the question first, just how blessed are you in Christ? Just how blessed are you? You ever ask yourself that? Well, let me read at least one passage that describes it so well. Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, if Yahweh, King of kings and Lord of lords, the sovereign over all of the universe, the Creator, your Creator, if He be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That's called innumerable blessings. We get them all. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Yeah, if you've been on the internet with me, you know I get condemned. I get cursed. But they can't condemn me. They can feign the idea. They can curse me and think they have done something to me. Who can lay a charge against God's elect? And that's certainly not because of who I am. You know that as well as I do. But only because of His calling. I'm one of His elect. I hope you're one of His elect. Because no one can lay a charge against you, if in fact you are. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? We are such a pathetic lot. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, maybe a little bit, distress, oh yeah, we get distressed, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Half, three quarters of those things we don't even have happening to us. And yet we complain and grumble and act like, oh, woe is me. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. I'm a conqueror. Are you a conqueror? I was not a conqueror. I was defeated in my own selfish life, interested only in myself. I'm a conqueror. No, I'm more than a conqueror. I hope you're at least a conqueror. And I hope you're more than a conqueror. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Christ Yeshua our Lord. And that's only where our blessings begin. Time for us to act like the blessed rather than the curse, that our cup, instead of being empty, runneth over. Amen? And shame on us when we don't. Perceive it, accept it, acknowledge it, or I should say them, because our blessings are innumerable. And then especially, learn to go through the day praising God hourly. And your life will be so full, your cup will run over like you have never experienced it before. That was for free. You don't even have to pay me for it. So, back where I left off, and I'm glad to see the room fill up with young people, because this message is not going to be deep. It hadn't been deep this far, and it's going to get even less shallow as we go on here. But God moved me to do this, and He particularly put on my heart the young people in regards to what I'm going to share with you. And I would gather that some of you need to be reminded of something that's so basic and yet so foundational. If we don't have this, it doesn't matter how deep we get otherwise in our walk with Christ, or how deep we think we might get in our walk with Christ, or in our studies in His Word. And so I'm thinking that the young people need to hear this, need to be encouraged in this, and some of you probably, I would bet, need to be reminded of this as well. So let me go back to where I left off, and let me be more specific regarding a specific blessing. That in and of itself, I testify to you, is beyond estimation. I hope you're blessed like I am, in that you rise from your sleep every single morning parched. How many of you get up in the morning with cotton mouth so bad it feels like your tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth? Let the record show that only the older folks raised their hands, and those who didn't were afraid to do it. Well, listen, in case somebody hasn't told you, Steve, that's because you're sleeping with your mouth open. You know, I don't do that. I wish. But that comes along with age. But listen, that's not the kind of parched that I'm talking about or plan to talk about. The kind of parched that I'm talking about is found in Psalms 42. If you would, just turn over a few psalms here to Psalm chapter 42 and look at verses 1 and 2 with me. Verse 1, it says, "As the hart," in the King James, another word for a deer, "as the hart," or the deer, "panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul." Let me ask you, have you ever been in a desert situation? Some of you guys that hunt, in a situation where you forgot the canteen back at the truck, you're out doing your deer hunting or whatever it is, and no creeks, no fountains, no Coke machines, and you're just parched. You just can't wait. That's the picture of this deer here. It's not like he's got water every day. He's parched. If he had water every day, he'd be drinking every day. And so he's parched. He can't wait to get to the brook where the water runs freely. "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" It's even better in a song, isn't it? After all, it is a maskil, a song that was written for the sons of Korah. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Amen. The same idea is also found in Psalms 84, if you want to turn over to there. Psalm 84 and verses, I'm going to kind of skip around here, verses 1 and 2 to begin with. It says, how amiable are the tabernacles of Yahweh our host. Who has a New American Standard? Amiable. How lovely, how amiable, or how lovely are the tabernacles of Yahweh of hosts. I want you to think about, what are the tabernacles of Yahweh of hosts? If given the chance, I will maybe touch upon that in a different way in the next message. But I want you to think about it. Again, one of those statements we might just pass over. What does it mean to be, why would David here, or one of the sons of Korah, why would the tabernacles of God, what does that mean that would mean so much to him? How amiable, how pleasant are the tabernacles, how lovely are the tabernacles of Yahweh of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Skip down to verses 4 and 5. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be praising thee. You want to be blessed? Praise God throughout your day. Your blessings, your cup will overflow. Blessed, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Jump down to verse 7. Verse 7, and they go from strength to strength, not from weakness to weakness, as it was when we were without Christ, but from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God, in verse 10 to end. And it says, for a day in thy courts, a day in thy tabernacles is better than a thousand outside. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And if you'll recall from last year, if you were here, I talked about that verse, verse 10, that the sons of Korah, remember, they were the, you remember Korah was the one, they were given really the third greatest position amongst the Levites to carry the tabernacle. And they squandered it by wanting more that wasn't their calling. And here is a song of the sons of Korah, and they says, hey, we're willing to just be the doorkeeper. Just let us be the doorkeeper. Do you remember what I shared about that last year? What's that mean for us? Who's the door? Christ is our door. To be a doorkeeper? I mean, that's for us, that's the highest position in the kingdom, if we're His. Oh, how to long, how we need to long to be in that kind of relationship with our God. Now I ask you, are you as blessed as I am in that you wake up parched for Yahweh's presence, longing to worship Him, parched to commune in prayer with Him, parched to fellowship with Him and His words, parched to be recharged in Christ another day, every single morning? Are you as blessed as I am? Oh, I hope you are. And yes, I said morning. You know, there's something about the morning when it comes to our relationship with God and what the Scriptures have to say about it, as reflected in the following Psalms. Psalms 5, verses 2 and 3, it says, hearken unto the voice of my cry, O my King and my God. For unto thee I will pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Yahweh. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. He was looking up. What's that reflect? this great, he looks up, God, I want you to hear my voice now, in great anticipation of how God might respond as he communes with him. Psalms 119, 147, and 148. It says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for thy words. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I might meditate upon thy word, both morning and night alike. Psalms 130 and verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Psalm 143 and verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. He didn't say in the afternoon anywhere or in the evening. He says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, Lord, in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, and I will lift my soul unto thee. And how does Yahweh respond? When we seek him in the morning, turn over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and look at very last verse, verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon Yahweh, it doesn't mention morning here, but that's where it begins. And it says, they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength from strength to strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I dream of being an eagle all my life. I see an eagle or a hawk and I fly in on high and I just want to be transformed momentarily to fly like they do. Hey, here it is. But they that wait upon Yahweh, they that wait upon Yahweh, those that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. I didn't see this before. They that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. It's not his answer that renews my strength. Not that that isn't going to renew my strength when he finally does answer. It's waiting on him that renews my strength. I never saw that before. Just waiting on him, God says, I'm going to empower you like an eagle that flies on high. Wow. But they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Turn over also to Lamentations chapter 3. How does Yahweh respond when we seek him with all of our soul in the morning? Lamentations chapter 3. But keep skipping over it here. And this is especially pertinent because it's found in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 22 and 24. And it says, it is of Yahweh's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every single morning, they are new to those who belong to him. Great is thy faithfulness. Yahweh is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Even better in a song. The steadfast love of Yahweh never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Yahweh is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him. Amen. How does our God respond? He responds in turn. You draw near to God, and Yahweh says, I'll draw near to you. Every single morning and noon and evening and night as well. It's called fellowshipping with God at the first opportunity of each and every day. That's what it's about. And the question that I'm going to ask you next is the crux, a word, by the way, that's rendered from it's a word from which we get the word cross. It was the crux of the cross, the center point, the center, the pivotal point of the cross. The crux of what I'm going to share with you, the question that I'm going to ask you next is the crux or the central or pivotal point of this message, which I've entitled Relationship or Ceremony. Relationship or Ceremony. So once again, those morning psalms are all about fellowshipping with God. At the first opportunity of each day. After all, and here's the question, what is Christianity? What is Christianity but relationship with Yahweh? What is Christianity but relationship with Yahweh? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul put it this way. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship. Not just ceremony, but fellowship of His Son, Jesus, or Yeshua, the Christ, our Lord. 1 John 1:3, we find this from John. He says, that which we have seen and heard and declare we unto thee, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Why? Because truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ. So let me ask you again, what is Christianity? But relationship with Yahweh. Or better, what is Christianity without relationship with Yahweh? Without relationship, Christianity, I'm here to tell you, is but a hollow shell, a formality of empty ceremony and ritual. Christians are not meant to seek the ceremony. We are to have ceremony. I have ceremony every single morning, first thing out of bed or shortly thereafter. But it's not the ceremony I seek. Christians are not to seek the ceremony. They're to seek the relationship in the ceremony. There's probably the churches out there that are akin most to where we're at, the Pronomian Reformed group benches. They've got lots of ceremony. Lots of ceremony. I question sometimes whether they've got relationship. I question whether I've always had relationship. Sometimes I have to admit it's just ceremony. I suspect the same for you as well. Now, I know that some of you just don't relate to Psalms 119 and verse 147 and that whole rising before dawn idea. That some of you, Eileen, and she'll hear that, she'll know who it is when she gets the CD, aren't a Christian until after 9 o'clock and you've had your first cup of coffee. She admits it. Well, okay, I'm guaranteeing you've missed out on the best part of the day if you're not rising before dawn. But, listen, it's nonetheless morning. Whenever it is, you get up, right? And whenever it is get up, to you, it's early, right? Because you'd like to stay in the bed just a little bit longer. So whenever it is, it's early. The point being, if you're not beginning the day, whenever it is for you, seeking Yahweh, fellowshipping with Christ or with Him in Christ, well, don't be surprised if the rest of your day just doesn't go too well. Whenever it is for you, I suggest you better begin it that way. That's your morning. Even if it's the afternoon, that's your morning with Yahweh. Thus may Yahweh bless you as I have been blessed for 40 years now, 40 years this year, with a parched soul every single morning. I hope you're as blessed as I am. Because I just found out I'm more blessed than I even thought I was, because just waiting upon Him, whether He answers at that moment or not, I'm already rising up with wings like eagles. Sing it with me this time if you didn't. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee.
You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You.
Amen. All right, I'm going to finish this message with what I hope to give you, with what I hope will give you, excuse me, some practical ideas from my morning fellowship with the Lord. Some of you may, by the way, have something figured out a whole lot better than what I do. But for those who may not are struggling with their fellowship time with the Lord, and I particularly want to provide this to the young people in that hopes that this will give them something better, something more concrete to establish themselves at this time in the morning. And so I want to give you a glimpse into what I do, some of what I do with my fellowship time in the morning, how I approach that time, that morning time with Yahweh each and every day. In the previous morning psalms, there are two things that are mentioned in particular. In Psalms 5, verses 2 through 3, it says, "Hearken unto thy voice of my cry. Hearken unto my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee I will pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Yahweh. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." Look up in anticipation for whatever He has planned then for that day for me. The word prayer is, I think, so cliched today that I think in many instances it's lost its real intent. So let's instead call it, let's call it communing with Yahweh. Communing with Yahweh, because if you're praying, if in your praying you're not communing, or even better yet, if you're not connecting with Yahweh, your Christianity is surely once again but a hollow shell. It's a time we got to think about, okay, I got to get my prayer time in. No, I've got to get my time in where I connect with my God. That's what I got to get. I got to get revived here. I've got to get wings so that I can mount up with wings and attack and deal with whatever it is that the Lord is going to have me do today. It's not just prayer time, you know. I got to go have my closet time. Who wants to go in the closet anyway? I want to be able to see the sunrise. But I want to connect. When I see that sunrise, I want to connect with Him. I want to commune. Your Christianity is surely just a shell if you're not connecting. Psalms 119, 147, and 148 says, "I will rise before dawn and cry for help. I will wait for thy words." Now, prayer is obviously our part in conversing, communing, connecting with Yahweh, and His word is His part, or at least His principle or primary part or portion in communing with us in our soul. Consequently, following my communing, my connecting time with Yahweh, my prayer time, if you will, I go to His word that He might speak to me. I'm going to speak to Him and I want Him to speak to me. Don't you want Him to speak to you? Now, I'm not looking for a whisper in my ear, a voice that says, "Ted, you know, today this is my plan for you. You go out and here's the diagram and, you know, the outline of how I want you to do it." I'm not looking for that, but I am looking to hear His voice. I can tell you that. Anticipating His quote-unquote voice from His Word. That's how I'm approaching His Word. I'm approaching it not just, okay, this is my Word time. I got to get this in every morning because that's what Christians do. No, I'm listening. I'm anticipating what He's going to say to me. Now, with Psalms 12:6 and Proverbs 35 in mind, Psalm 12:6 says that the words of Yahweh are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And then Proverbs 35, it says, "Every word of God is pure, and thus purified seven times." With that in mind, my Bible reading every word of God is pure, purified seven times. My Bible reading is not random. It's just not flip open the page and, okay, here's my reading today. The Holy Spirit led me to that one. Let's see, this is about the lepers. Wonder what I'm going to get from there. There is something to be gotten from there, by the way. But it's not random. When we think of physical meals, what are we looking for? Especially us guys. We're looking for a well-rounded, fill-you-up kind of meal, right? And, boy, a three-course meal, ladies, man, that's the ticket. That's the epitome. Well, when I set myself down at Yahweh's table every morning, I'm not looking to just munch. I'm not looking for just a snack. I'm looking for a well-rounded meal, in fact, a five-course meal. Why a five-course meal? Well, simply because there's no rhyme or reason to this other than the fact that most people view Yahweh's word as divided up into five portions. The law, that is, of course, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the historical portion, that is Judges through the book of Job, poetry and wisdom, that is Psalms and Proverbs on through the Song of Solomon, the prophets, of course, Isaiah through Malachi, and the New Testament, which, of course, is Matthew through Revelation. Now, you may prefer a six-course meal by dividing up the New Testament into the Gospels and the Epistles. But every morning, regardless what's on the agenda or what hour it is, I have a well-rounded five-course banquet. Why not just go where you seem to be blessed the most? Well, because every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. We're going to exemplify that in the next message here with a brand new thought that I had in preparing the message I hadn't seen before either. Purified seven times. Every word of God is pure. Purified seven times for my feasting. And I never know, truly never know which portion or plate or portions that may contain what will feed my soul, that will revive me in Christ on any particular morning. And so I have it's a five-course banquet out of all five portions every single morning. It's been that way for 40 years. One more secret. Well, not really so much a secret as a key to what I believe has made my time in God's Word the most rewarding. Interact with the Word. Keep in mind that Christ is the Word, is the incarnate Word. This is Christ right here. And so if we're going to commune, if we're going to connect with Yahweh, with Christ, we need to interact with the Word. And what I mean by that is you need to write in your Bibles. This is not the cover is not sacred. The words are sacred, but the Bible is not sacred in the form of it. You need to write in your Bible, all over your Bible, insights. As you're going through the Word, you're looking for God to give you insights. Write it in the side column if you're not already doing this. And I know I've got people I know that they just cannot write in their Bibles. I'm preaching this to them, hoping to convince them otherwise. Insights, write insights, put dates, cross references, personal revelations, dates of repentance, etc., etc., etc. Whatever it is that might be relevant to what you're reading at the time that has touched your heart or your soul. And again, it may just be a cross-reference. Do this if you're not already, and I assure you, your Bible time will become much more fulfilling. And not only much more fulfilling, but your fellowship with Yahweh therein will become much, much more intimate. It's interaction with Him. And you'll become much more personally acquainted, familiar with, and conversant with His Word. Keep in mind that every word of God is pure, purified seven times. Psalms 119, 160, New American Standard. The sum of God's Word is truth. It's His will for our lives. And we therefore, by doing that, we become, by interacting with His Word, interacting with Christ, interacting with God through His Word, we become much more conversant in His Word for both ourselves and others' lives as well, as God places them in our lives to touch with His Word. In fact, it should be our goal to wear out your Bible. How many of you have worn out Bibles by simple use? Well, praise God for some of you. The rest of you need to get with it. This has got to be my eighth at least. And I'm not bragging about that, but just you need to be doing the same thing. Wearing it out. I mean, golly, this is God's Word to me. And to you, you need to wear it out. You should have pages in your Bible that look like that. And look like that. And throughout your Bible to the point where eventually one day you've got no more room to write. And the pages are worn out. They're falling onto your Bible. Praise God. That's somebody who has been communing with their God. I've had people see those pages, you know, walk by and my Bible's open and say, man, would I ever like your notes? I've probably had a half a dozen people say that over the years. No, you don't want my notes. You want your notes. You want what God gave you from His mind conveyed to you through His Word. You want to have such a relationship that your Word is full, your Bible is full of His messages to you. Now, nothing deep about any of that, but I hope that brief look into my morning commune with Yahweh, my connection with Him, proves helpful to anyone here who already doesn't have theirs all mapped out, and encourages some of you that probably were pretty good at doing that and maybe have slacked off. Life is, you know, such that it can get awful hectic. But it should never be so hectic that God is left out. But more importantly, I hope that it's inspired you to seek more than just ceremony in your Christianity, but a relationship in your walk with Christ, in God, that you too might wake up every single morning parched in your soul for your God. Blessings.